Isn't she sweet? I love my wife. I love her. I do too, buddy. Yeah, it's amazing. When you just talk about your family and love, you communicate. You kind of grow together, don't you? I said, there's something very special that when we can just come together and we can just experience life, grow to life, God has a way of bringing us together and making us one. But probably one of the key things that when I was making this, putting some of these thoughts together about my wife, we ministered in the country of Ukraine, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, taking the gospel many different places. And yet, wherever you go, there's one word that keeps coming back. When you read it in Leviticus, I think it's 90 times, I believe. It's the same word that when I was in a Far East city, it was of 6 million people. And I walked down the street and I looked and all these thoughts were coming to me. I was there, I was by myself. And I was just walking with the Lord. And I said, God, what is it? And He said the same word. Holiness. Holiness. When you're reading through Leviticus, you keep coming back to that same word. Holiness. So God brings us all together in that kind of capacity. What unites us in this body of love is looking to the one that we pray to. Our Father who art in heaven, finish the next phrase. And that means holy. Holy. When we love one another, it's all drawing us to this one conclusion. And we studied that in our Sunday school class. It comes to this one conclusion, to honor God's holy name. How do we do that? How do we live a holy life? It's not easy. I posed a question in our Sunday school class that started a rhubarb, and we'll finish that next week. What's happening today in our society comes back to this. Oh, let's put it like this. Chris, are you a holy person? Good. Yeah, Michelle. Do you walk a holy walk? Good. Hey, Troy. Does God look through your eyes, see you in a man of holiness? It's kind of amazing. It's a tough walk for all of us. But we're moving in that capacity. So let's begin to ask these questions. Now, I'd like for you to build off of Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, the scripture says, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God." And then here's the phrase, "You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. If God is holy, do you suppose you can be holy? If He asks you to be holy, is He going to help you to, is He going to give you all the equipment that it takes? And the answer is yes. And He's going to give you all the equipment that it takes to be holy, but He's going to marinate it in one word. And that one word is going to be love. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read this morning, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." When we marinate holiness in a bowl of love, then We have the equipment that it takes to live a holy life. So where are we talking about? Book of Leviticus? Oh, Mount Sinai. What are we doing there? Well, we're learning some laws. We're talking about the Day of Atonement, how holy that God is. But I'm going to travel down, and I'm just going to hit this pretty quick. Is holy living an option, or is it a command? If it is a command, then God said it. Yes, so let's do it. How are we going to do that? In 1 Peter, I'm going to jump around with you a little bit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the Scripture says, "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves into the former lust, as in your ignorance." In other words, when you did some stupid things because you were like me. In our former ignorance, we did some stupid things. But wait a minute, that's behind us. But he says, now, but he who has called you is holy, you also shall be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." So how are you going to do that? Number one, you're going to know that Jesus called you to do that. Number two, you're going to conduct yourself in a way that would please your Father. As I talked with one guy this week who was over a company, and his father put him in that position, he said, "The one thing I wanted to do was at the end of the day, I wanted my Father to be pleased." And you know, that's kind of the way we are. At the end of the day, don't we want our Heavenly Father to be pleased? And then He tells us that the measurement of your conduct is going to be holy living. Holy living. The word holy, how do you become holy? If I were to ask you, well, Jesus put it this way. When Jesus started preaching, He said, "Repent and believe the gospel." It's found in the book of Mark. So if you're going to become holy, the first thing you have to do, you have to repent. Repent says, "God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I want to change. I don't want to do it again. God, I want to repent of my sin." First thing you have to do is say, "Okay, God, I'm going to turn around now, and I'm not going to do the things that I did in ignorance because I know better now. And so what I'm going to do, God, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to repent." But the second thing I got to do, I got to believe the gospel. The gospel. I can believe what Jesus said in the New Testament. Because you see, you're never going to live a holy life if you don't believe you have to. You're never going to live a holy life if you don't believe God wants you to. You're never going to live a holy life if you don't believe you can live a holy life. Some people say, I'm going to screw up, so I'm just going to forget it. I'm going to go on. No, you can. That's what He did. And so He said, "Remember, be holy." So how do we do that? We know that He called us, and we know that we repent, and then the next thing, we need to be filled with the Spirit. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, where is disputation or wasteful, but be filled with the Spirit." So Ephesians 5:18 tells us, hey, look, this is how that you're going to get pumped up about this. This is how you're going to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is how you're going to repent of your sin. You're going to believe in the gospel, because the Holy Spirit is going to come into your life and He is going to do a great work. Wow. You mean I'm not doing this by myself? No. I'm not doing it in my strength? No. I'm doing it by the one who's got me by the heart and the one who's filling me. And saying, "Yeah, I can do this." Well, I know He commanded it. And I know how to do it now. Repent of my sins, believe in the gospel, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the question is, how are you going to stay holy? It's one thing to be holy, but how do you stay that way? You've heard that quote, haven't you? It's hard to fly with eagles if you're walking around with turkeys. And you know, I understand that. I mean, that's written in Redneck 101. I say, I understood that. But now I can get there. But can I stay there? Yeah, you can. And this is how you do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. How am I going to stay holy? Hey, remember that big heavy book we gave you? You read that book, it's going to point you in the right direction. Are you reading that book? Is it pointing you in the right direction? Boy, I'm hearing all kind of good reports. Individuals, families. Man, reading through the Word of God, this is exciting because we're reading something that's inspired by God Almighty, and He tells me, hey, look, what's wrong, what's right, how to get right and how to stay right. It's all coming out of that same verse. Hear the Word. But when you hear it, you can't just put it in one ear and out the other ear. You got to do a 90. You got to go in the ear, and it's got to turn and go to the heart. So when you hear the Word, then you are to do the Word. That's found in James 1:22. It says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So now I'm reached that point now where I hear it, I do it, and then I'm going to make it a life principle. I'll make it a life principle by Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. See that? It's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Wow. Can you live the holy life? The answer is absolutely. And so we kind of bring this down to a conclusion. What are some characteristics of the Sabbath day? What are some characteristics of living the holy life? Why do we celebrate Christ one day a week and we put all of the things and say that's number two? Can you go back to my slide that when I was talking about text power? Can you go to text power? Can you throw that thing up there? This is what I'm talking about right here. Y'all know John Gore? Okay, some of you do. That's where he processes deer right there. And John was his 75th birthday. And I went over there to take a little deer to him. And he started telling me, John said, you know, last week, he said, I was just standing there, and my back went. And he started, and he had to grab hold of something just to walk. He says, you know, I kept on moving, and by the time Sunday got here, I was feeling a little bit better, but I was behind so many deer, I said, you know, I need to process these. But then John said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to church Sunday and thank God for how I feel today. And so John did. And John said, you know, the next day, Monday, I had the best day that I've had. And not only did I have the best day that I had, but on Wednesday, a friend of mine called me up and said, hey, look, can I come over and help you a few hours? And so when we got in there and started talking, we started talking about the Sabbath day, remembering the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. That's living proof right there on his birthday, he says, you know, honor God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember means put it in your mind. Make it important. The Sabbath day, a day of rest that God has given you. Remember the Sabbath day. The purpose behind it. God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. He ceased from His labor. So on that seventh day, He ceased, and He gave us a gift, a blessing, that if we'll cease from our labors, honoring and remembering God, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That'll put us in line with Him, and He blesses. So let's remember that. Remember that. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. And Lord, we know that the book of Leviticus speaks time and time again about the holiness of God. Father, I thank You that everyone that's in this room right here either are equipped or right now can be equipped to live that holy life. Father, for those who haven't discovered how to be holy, let them right now repent of their sins and believe the gospel. That's what You said do for salvation. And when they do that, then Lord, we know You send to them the Holy Spirit to help them walk. God, it's good to walk with You. And it's good to celebrate with other people, loving one another, and caring about one another. And it's good to make You happy, Father. To do good, share with others, and offer up the lips of praise to You. And You are pleased with that. So today, Father, as we leave winners. Because we have pleased the Lord by offering up praise to You. May Your blessings be upon each one this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you received Christ? That's to start the walk, the holy life. If you've not repented of your sins and invited Christ into your heart, I ask you to do that right where you're standing this morning. And then come down front here. I'll be on the front row. Then come down front and tell me, hey, look, I did what You said. I repented of my sins, and I believe in the gospel. And we will rejoice with you. Others of you, the prayer altar is going to be open because there's needs. There's needs. Now I'm praying for a brother of mine up in West Virginia. He's having to make some hard decisions with people attending his church. And he asked for help. So I'm praying for him. But I'm also praying for you that God would give you that blessing today. May you be blessed as we stand together and sing the song of invitation.